Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
What is the connection between cancel culture and intelligent design? ID scientists know all too well. This is Robert Crowther at the Center for Science and Culture, and joining me today to discuss this is David Klinghoffer, editor of Evolution News and Science Today. Welcome, David.
Thank you, Rob.
As our regular listeners know full well, the idea of free speech and freedom of thought is no stranger to the debate over evolution and intelligent design, and it is now an issue that is forefront across the country and culture today. And one case I'd like to ask you about is maybe you could tell us a little bit about the recent story of Andrew Sullivan.
Sure. Andrew Sullivan is a well-known journalist. Until very recently, he had a writing perch at New York Magazine, and he was mysteriously let go, and it wasn't clear what had happened. He's not a right-winger. He's a liberal to moderate thinker, and it was unclear what had happened. It turned out that the roots of his being canceled by New York Magazine go back fully 25 years when he was the editor of the New Republic magazine, and he published an excerpt from a controversial book at the time called The Bell Curve by Charles Murray, which had to do with genetics and race and IQ. And all he had done was publish an excerpt from the book. He also published pieces critical of the book and its thesis. And that was so controversial that 25 years later, because he published the excerpt and because it touched on the issue of race and IQ, New York Magazine felt that he was too radioactive, and they had to let him go. Now he's not suffering because of this. He's gone back to doing a popular blog, but it reminded me of a story that I had written about back in 2004 for the Wall Street Journal about Richard Sternberg, our now colleague Richard Sternberg. And Richard Sternberg was canceled by the Smithsonian Institution, where he was a researcher. And what was his crime? It was to publish an article in a peer-reviewed technical biological journal by Stephen Meyer, enlarging on Meyer's argument for intelligent design. Now, Sternberg is a biologist. He himself did not advocate intelligent design at the time. All he did was publish one article by Stephen Meyer about ID, and he was pushed out of his job, his research position at the Smithsonian. They took away his office, they took away his keys, just because he published an article. So when the story came out about Andrew Sullivan, and everyone was outraged about, not everyone, I'm sorry, many people were outraged at the way he was treated by New York Magazine, I thought, well, this is kind of a familiar story, because the same kind of thing has happened to many ID scientists and other ID scholars, from Gunter Beckley, Doug Axe, Eric Hedin, David Kopich, and others. This is a story that's familiar. I'm not telling you anything you don't know, obviously, Rob. But this same kind of thing has happened to many ID people over the years. And we've been trying to bring attention to it for going on 2 decades. This is how right. I got involved with ID myself, was writing about Sternberg's case. So that's why people like our colleague Michael Egnor and others have called ID the canary in the coal mine for cancel culture. Because even before cancel culture had a name, we were completely familiar with it. ID was that canary.
Indeed. There's an entire movie about it, Expelled, No yeah. Intelligence Allowed.
Exactly.
Which tells Sternberg's story as well as some of the others. And you've obviously been involved in studying, writing, and researching on this for a long time. And you have one recent essay where you explore the idea whether all questions are open questions. Is it okay to raise an issue for discussion, just as Sternberg did by publishing Stephen Meyer's piece, or Sullivan did back by just, you know, having an excerpt, which he then apparently went on to be somewhat critical of the idea. He was raising that for discussion.
Yeah, right.
Is that a reason to be canceled because you want to discuss a serious issue?
Apparently, in our culture, it is. And the question is, a question that I've thought about, and not just me, but other people have thought about, is how did we get to this place? I mean, we know that cancel culture, the other word for cancel culture that we had at Discovery Institute before people started talking about canceling was to be expelled. It means the exact same thing. So people have been expelled over ID for a long time. The question is, how did we get to this incredibly intolerant, illiberal place in our culture? And there was an interesting article in the Wall Street Journal the other day by Tony Woodleaf, and he cites a political scientist called Wilmore Kendall, who was a political theorist at Yale who actually taught William F. Buckley and had some surprising ideas about free speech. And Buckley wrote a book under the tutelage of Wilmore Kendall called God and Man at Yale, The Superstitions of Academic Freedom. It's a well-known, it's a famous book. Yes. And he made the point that academic freedom is kind of a two-edged sword, because if you extend unlimited free speech to everyone, this was Buckley's point and it was Wilmore Kendall's point, there are dangers to that, because what you're doing is extending it to even its enemies. If you care about what Wilmore Kendall called an open society, when you extend free speech in an absolutist manner to Marxists on campus and so on, who have no fond feelings for freedom, you are endangering open society. And Kendall said that if you do that, eventually, overnight, he said, you'll find that you become the most intolerant of possible societies, and above all, one in which the pursuit of truth can only come to a halt. And he wrote that in the 1950s.
Wow.
And he foresaw in a really prophetic way the place that we have come to today. It began with ID, but now it extends to all kinds of ideas that go to the root of our society.
Yeah, you mentioned in that piece, one of those ideas that kind of goes to the foundation and our founders is you say that intelligent design is one of the hardest of hardcore truths at the heart of the American consensus. Yeah. What do you mean by that?
Well, so Kendall pointed out that every society has a fundamental consensus, things that people all agree on, expressed in our case in the Constitution and in the Declaration of Independence. He called it a hard core of shared beliefs. And when you open that heart, it's not that Kendall was in favor of censorship. He assumed and argued that every society has a core of beliefs that it can't allow to be attacked with impunity. And when it does, the society itself is under attack. And our colleague Wesley Smith has memorably characterized our moment in culture as one where the French Revolution is attacking the American Revolution, because we've given up these fundamental beliefs. And one of them, as expressed in the Declaration of Independence, is that all men are created equal and they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. And Stephen Meyer and others have pointed out that, of course, that's a statement about design in nature, that there's a design underlying nature. And that was a truth that Thomas Jefferson, who was always thought of as a secularist, understood very well and expressed very clearly in a famous letter to John Adams. And so that's the first sentence in the Declaration of Independence. And it's not surprising, I speculated, that of all the ideas that are fundamental to our culture, intelligent design would be the first to have its head come on the guillotine, because there's no truth more fundamental than the idea of design that gives dignity to human beings. And that's the most fundamental observation of intelligent design. And so when they were going to come after the American Revolution, it's not surprising, I thought, that they would come after us first. And they did.
Yes. And early on, there was quite a bit of success with that. Sadly, a number of people, I mean, dating back to like the late 80s, early 90s with Dean Kenyon, Sternberg himself, of course, but others who have lost jobs, teachers who've lost teaching positions in universities and schools, professors who've been denied grants and so on, all happening early on. And as time marches forward, now we're at the point where there's a strange thing that we've seen a little bit in some of the science areas is this intolerance that is growing that came from attacking ID originally is scaring some scientists to being a little bit, I think, in some cases, more open. But that is the reverse of what's happening now in the wider culture, whereas the wider culture wasn't paying as much close attention to the ID argument and so on early on. The scientists, you know, were. And it's sort of kind of flipped it on its head a little bit, because we're seeing a lot more questioning and openness to serious scientific questions in a lot of places. Not all, for sure, but a lot.
I you may be being a bit optimistic. I as readers of Evolution News probably know, one really glaring example of the suppression of free speech is what we see with our summer seminars, where students have to have their identities protected. And that has always been the case with the seminars, and remains the case, because you can't openly participate in a seminar about design if you're a graduate student, undergraduate, without having to worry about repercussions. And that's, you know, we take that for granted. You know, of course we can't, whenever we write articles about the seminar and publish photos, we have to make sure.
Yeah, that they're not identified.
We have to cut off the photos of the students. You can we only show the tops of their heads, because someone might be identifiable by the full back of his or her head. That's how extreme it is. Imagine a student, an undergraduate student, could be punished for having the back of her or his head published at Evolution News.
Yeah,
and for us, that's normal. You know, we've been living for decades.
It has happened. A very promising teacher in Ohio a number of years ago, Brian Leonard, was denied his dissertation. His PhD was completely derailed specifically over this issue, and they kept him from getting his PhD, which was really sad. And it's not that I'm being optimistic in the general sense, because we've seen recently journalists and people in mouthpieces for certain scientific associations calling for intelligent design pro-ID websites like Evolution News to be censored or labeled as dangerous.
Right, right. So I think that's an indication of how far we've come. That you're thinking of the article in BioEssays,
right,
which called for censorship in search engines like Google to come down on sites, and he specifically mentioned Evolution News. That too will ring a bell with people who follow our online
right.
culture. They're coming for us. They're coming for
us. And interestingly, that sort of in-your-face antagonism, and that's quite a bold thing to call for in a major publication, is because this writer and probably others there feel threatened by what I was alluding to before. There's a certain growing openness among scientists across all the topics and subject matter. Think of David Glertner, who are now willing to consider this much more deeply. They take the ideas more seriously. They're engaging with them on an intellectual level. And that is very right. frightening to people who don't want to see that debate go on. So they have to have other means of reprisal, like getting Google or Facebook or Twitter to, you know, ban you or block you or label you.
Right. And that's not happening just to us. It's happening at Twitter and Google, et cetera, against ideas that are disfavored. So I do hope that this will bring our issue to people's consciousness. And up till now, we have been warning about this, and people have brushed it off to some degree. Oh, it's not, you know, it's only intelligent design. Well, no, it's not only intelligent design. It's many disfavored ideas.
And if you want to find out about those seemingly dangerous ideas, you can do so at Evolution News and Science Today at evolutionnews.org. Take note of that, because someday you might not find it in a search engine.
That's right.
Evolutionnews.org. Be sure to share this podcast and that page with your friends and family and let them know about it. It's an interesting discussion, as are the science topics that you cover all the time, from Cambrian fossils to Big Bang and physics and all sorts of really cool science stuff there too.
Yeah, thank you, Rob.
All right, thank you, David. I really appreciate your being here on ID the Future today, and I want to thank our listeners for tuning in. You can follow David's reporting, as well as all those others, Evolution News and Science Today, at evolutionnews.org. I'm Robert Crowther for the Center for Science and Culture. Thank you for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute. For more information, visit intelligentdesign.org and idthefuture.com.